All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping. Whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation, that is the meal that I stick with. And you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Wrecker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekkr5, mountain-state-survival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Today we have on with us Jamie Walden. Jamie's a fellow brother. He's a Marine. He's former law enforcement, former EMS. He runs a ministry now up in Colorado. And me and Jamie were talking last night about a few problems that we've had with a few people. And we felt that it's time to start addressing a few things. And we're probably going to make a lot of enemies doing this, but hey, Jamie, that's what we're all about, right? We don't get friendship pay. Yeah. So thanks for coming on. And which point do you want to start with first?
Yeah, bro. No, thanks for having me on. Side note, sweet shirt. I noticed we're twinsing it up with our Mountain Hardware gear. Oh, actually, yeah, that's right. That's dude, right. Isn't that the one you got when?
Yeah, that's the one you stabbed me with.
Yeah, when the tire blew out. Oh, yeah. Because the tire blew out on your trailer, we had to run into a store and buy new clothes because we were soaked in sweat before we started training. Anyways, side stories with Doug and Jamie. But yeah, dude, so we were talking for the listeners, talking off air, and you know, a lot of things, there's a way to handle this tactfully and diplomatically, but still, you know, address some of the issues. And, you know, we'll just call this rants with Jamie and Doug or whatever we want to call it. But, you know, there's, and I've seen this for years. I got awake or cutting my teeth, you know, on Alex Jones and then moving into the biblical worldview, spiritual connection to it all through Steve Quayle and others, you know, and obviously getting into Russ Dizdar and Tom Horn and the guys at Skywatch, you know, and really loving and enjoying Derek and Sharon Gilbert. And just there's so many great, authentic brothers and sisters out there that are really, you know, have been trailblazers on a lot of different issues. But, you know, I cut my teeth in what would be the quote unquote truther movement probably 15 years ago. And actually, it was being a third shift cop. And this was after the Marines, after college, worked with the U.S. Marshals, just a little bit intern there on a hiring freeze. So I jumped on a local PD, tested and got picked up by a local PD. And so I'm driving around on third shift. And the only thing on in the middle of the night is AM radio, coast to coast AM, you know. And so you're listening to these guys that I remember being, you know, whatever I was, 25 at the time, in my arrogancy and hubris with my chip on my shoulder warrior posture going, these guys are idiots. These guys are such kooks. Oh, 9/11 was an inside job, whatever, you know? And then it's like George Norrie, right? So then you hear about aliens, then you hear about Bigfoot, then you hear about 9/11, then you hear, I mean, you can hear everything on coast to coast, right? That's actually where I first heard Steve Quayle talk, and I'm dismissing it. And then I started digging in. I was so like rubbed wrong by it that I actually did it as an arrogancy to try to disprove him. And I started digging into stuff when I'd get off duty and I couldn't refute the evidence. The evidence was the evidence, right? And so anyways, I'm just giving that background to say, like, I have personally been a benefactor or a beneficiary of the truther movement. I subscribe to the truther movement and things that are of truth, we'll say, not the truther movement. I hands down study and research everything that everybody else is studying research, even at different levels. I've mentioned it, but we haven't gone in depth that I have a family member that was on Operation High Jump, and received medals. I have primary source pictures of Admiral Byrd and all that kind of stuff. So anyways, I've been steeped in this reality. You know, I've been on expedition, with Tim Alberino and Gary Haven and have extracted teeth from elongated skulls to send them off for haplogroup, you know, sequencing for DNA, showing that they're not fully human elongated skulls out of Paracas, Peru, right? So, like, I'm very well in tune to this reality. But saying all that, on the same token, is that what I've also seen is the radical, significant, and consequential disconnect from the truther, the majority of the truther community to actual truth. Does that make sense? Like, there's a major disconnect from the truther community to the actual truth or what it's supposed to do. So what I've seen more often than not is it's information for information's sake. It's information for the dopamine release, just like anybody who wants to look at pornography or do drugs or anything else. It's the sensationalism. It's the latest, greatest intel. It's the super duper, you know, conspiracy theory. Alex Jones is a Russian plant and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's like they go layer after layer because they're never satisfied. It's truly a broken cistern that can't hold water. And the number one most grievous aspect of the truther movement is that they use it for power, control, manipulation, and to lord over the next guy. There's a self-puffed upness that comes within the truther community. So it goes to show you that there's a disconnect from what the information is supposed to be doing in them to what it's actually doing in them. And so you and I know we talk about it off air, not that we dwell on it, you know, it's not a big deal, but it's just sometimes we laugh, sometimes we get a little bit irritated, but the amount of hubris and arrogancy and the nasty grams that I know I get all the time. I know you get all, I know every, anybody who is even remotely, you know, talking about these things get, it's insane. It's insane from the King James only to the Torah observant to the Jamie uses Freemason hand signs when he's leading his church. It's most asinine. I mean, who says that for real? Like, oh, Jamie, you use Freemason hand signs like Donald Trump does when you're preaching at your church. And it's like, is this for real? Like, this is actual an email? Or like, do you Shabbat on Saturday? Because if you don't Shabbat on Saturday, you're of the devil. Oh, I heard you quote from the ESV, Doug. You're not even an authentic Christian. You have tattoos, right? And it's like,
oh, trust me, I get that all the time.
Dude, it's like one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And you're like, obviously, there is a disconnect because I've never seen such vileness. It doesn't, the spirit of the leftists, the radical leftists, the BLM Antifa ilk, that same spirit is in the truther movement on this side as well. The pendulum swings both ways. It's a spiritual issue. And so it comes out in this lover of self and this faulty self-actualization and this visceral malice that comes out of people. And it's like at a point now where it's like, dude, is this for real? Like, people actually are taking the time to write these emails, are taking the time to make these comments on on sermons that are for the edification of people, to build them up and give them hope and strength and renew their image in Christ Jesus in a crooked and perverse generation. And they're on these threads making these nasty gram comments to themselves. And it's like, dude, you have no clue what you're doing and what you're speaking to and what you're a part of. And really, I don't say this with any faulty pride or anything, but like, you know, it's like, gotta go ghetto. Like, you don't know me, bro. Right? Like, you don't know me. Like, you don't know the cost of what the Lord has done in my life to bring me to this point of sanctification. And there's a lot more to go. There's no arrival that's occurring here. Like, it's only ever a process. It's like, you don't know, like, the crushing and the reduction of self and of the world and of the love of the world and of faulty paradigms that has gone on. You don't know the persecution, the mocking, the scoffing, the reviling. You don't know these things. And yet, as a keyboard warrior and all your neo-Gnosticism that you feel so secure in, you want to send nasty grams to other people. It's like, dude, you actually are testifying that you have never heard a single word that's been spoken. All the thousands of hours of podcasts and YouTube videos and books that you've consumed, you've never actually heard what's been being said. And you can tell it by the posture.
Here's where I lie with this. And I've known a lot of these guys for a long time, all the celebrities within the Christian truther movement. And from our good friend Tim to Dave Hodges, to L.A. Marzulli, and Steve Quayle, and Doug Hagman, Pastor Paul Bagley, all these guys. You know what we all have in common now? Because now apparently me and you are in this movement. I didn't know that, but apparently we're in this movement. Is that we all get the same reprimand from the same group of ignorant Christians who believe that, like, they penned part of the Bible. And if you don't quote everything, chapter and verse, you know, because if you don't have a Bible in front of you, sometimes you don't give a direct quote, right? You know, and then I'll have people blow up on me over email over it. Recently on CERN, here's one thing. Me and Pastor Mondo Gonzalez, a pastor, we just did a, you know, like an hour long conversation talking about CERN. He's a science and tech guy. He's an academic, and he's a, you know, he's a great guy.
And we're talking about the actual science and technology that's happening at CERN. And so, you know, we mentioned some of the spooky stuff, but we wanted to focus more on what was actually happening, developing science and technology wise, and could they actually destroy the Earth with the science and technology that they have? And we kind of competed back and forth in our thesis. But apparently that wasn't spooky enough. Apparently we didn't, you know, release enough endorphins and dopamine and
it's not sensational enough, bro. Like it's got to be clickbaity, right? It's got to be sensational. Otherwise you're a fool and you're an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and you know, what's funny though, is that it's gotten almost 100,000 or it's at 100,000 views by now. And I've only received one negative comment. Here's the problem. This one negative comment really made me think about just how unlucky we are in this point in time. There is a great deception that is happening. And this great deception, this grand illusion, I'm not going to point fingers and name names, but I'm just going to say what needs to be said. It's being stirred up by the Christian truther movement.
Yeah, I agree.
Look,
it's interesting, man. I see that all, like when it says, you know, biblically, 1 Timothy 4, that they will always be learning, but never able to come to an understanding of the truth. They will have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, right? Like it says that they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but instead will devote themselves to the doctrines of demons. And it's like, you see, people don't understand, like when you have your finger on the pulse of the spirit of the age, it is a fearful thing how late the hour is. You know, we talked about just what I was doing in the DR, doing the counter child sex trafficking stuff, and the Christians and the Christian ministries that we interacted with down there. And like, and then being back here, you know, I have family members that are mega church leaders, like seeker friendly, super like mile wide, inch deep, right? Like seeker friendly mega church pastors. And you get your finger on the pulse of that and you realize all these scriptures, what they're speaking to, are going down in real time, like in real time. This love of self, lover of pleasure rather than lover of God, proud, boastful, arrogant, abusive, treacherous, rash, conceited, right? This is all 1 Timothy 3, you know, 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter 3, 2 Thessalonians 2, right? Because they love not the truth, because they love not the truth. And it's like, but yet they tout themselves as a truth or movement, which again, it's testifying in the spirit of the age. The spirit of the age is faulty self-actualization. That is the single identifier of the lateness of the hour, is faulty self-actualization. You say you're wealthy and in need of nothing. You say, I'm crushing it. You say, I'm on this plane. Look at what feast days I now celebrate compared to you. Look at what day I do this compared to you. Look at what I study and research. Look at how deep of a rabbit hole I've gone in compared to you. So they say they're wealthy and needed nothing, but they've never asked the Holy One of Israel, the Most High God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, how do you see me? And he says, you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked.
Was it Paul or Peter who said, don't worry about what festivals other men, you know, take
part in? Yeah, the Apostle Paul. Yeah, he's like, one man considers one day holy another. It's like, and what it's speaking to is, it's about your... how your conscious conviction before the Lord. And it says, the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that is sin. It's like, you want to celebrate on Saturday? All right, you want to Sabbath on Saturday? Do it. You want a Sabbath on Sunday? Do it. Don't tell me that Sunday is actually a Roman perversion, blah, 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 because it's Sunday and it's a sun worship and this and that, as you're doing it on Saturn Day, Saturnalia, which is literally Apollo, Osiris, Apollyon, or the Nimrodian worship. And it's like, dude, again, this goes back to that faulty self-actualization, like the hubristic nature of the truther movement. But it's always something, right? It's always something.
There's a boogeyman, like, behind every book, dude, and shadow and gesture.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Some jackwagon told me that I'm a Luciferian. All right. Obviously, I'm not a Luciferian elite, because I wouldn't be, you know, staying in a small house on a homestead covered with flies from all the cattle that's around us. But what struck me is that people are so bought, so deceived, And everything that they see has a meaning. Everything that they see has a boogeyman behind it. There's a demon behind every smile. And look, in some ways, you can really look out into the world and put those things together. And I'll agree with you on quite a bit of it. But here I am. I speak from the Bible. This thing right here, you know, that thing that a lot of you people who email me about don't own or don't read. You know, it's creating division within the brethren. Listen, it says American Vindicta Show. That's the name of the show. Lightning bolts, the wings, the helmet. This gas mask is because for the last year and a half of my service to you in the country, I wore a damn gas mask every day.
Yep, exactly. And plus, like, let's make it super simple.
It's a SWAT, it's like SRT device.
It's
every
like,
team has it.
Well, and I go, like, really reduce your conspiratorial mindset. It's like, why that logo? Because it's cool. Because you liked it. Like, you like it because it's cool. You design your logo. Like, you know, us coming from our back. I mean, I see your shadow box over your corner, and it's like, oh, what's over my corner? Like, here, look over my shoulder. It's like, dude, it's just
this is mine.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a part of our culture. Like, yeah. I have. You notice all kinds of stuff, like, you know,
our old insignia, okay, from our device. See how it kind of looks the same? There's the sword and the wings and the lightning bolts. Like, for some of you really, really stupid people, why don't you just look up what the meaning is? And this, and there was a couple people, and unfortunately, I'm gonna name drop somebody. Me and Tim Alberino and Dave Hodges recently did a podcast together, two-part series podcast together. And Tim's our brother. If people knew the way me, you, and Tim talk in the chat group, like a bunch of teenage kids, you know, just ripping on each other all the time, it would, could probably be its own sitcom. But there are some fantastically insane people who follow us. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I really don't care. But when you have these people who are like, okay, I'm part of the Flat Earth community, whatever. I'm part of the Hollow Earth community. I'm part of the Every Alien is Only a Demon community. And then there's the hyper spiritual people who are fighting demons in their mind. And every time they turn around, they're fighting a dragon, right? And I've met some of those people before, and they're kind of off, but whatever. And then, you know, you have these conspiracy tunnels, these rabbit holes, and people get caught, as in Tim was talking about, getting caught in this loop. And they can't seem to get out of it. Well, gents, ladies, I have the cure of how to get out of it.
It's the word. Yeah. And that goes back to what we're saying. Yeah. And that's what goes back to what we're saying is they don't allow the information to do what it's supposed to do. The information and the knowledge and the truth is supposed, it's, you know, even Christ says, this is talking about Christ himself as the way, the truth, and the light, right? So I'm not misappropriating scripture, but I'm just saying in context, it says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So unfortunately, most people in the truth or movement, they only get increasingly bondage and deeper and deeper bondage. They alienate, they isolate, and they aggravate.
I mean, they're
not understanding, like, So what the truther movement has done for me is, and I'm just speaking from just me personally. So this is Jamie talking, like, I'm not projecting anything on anybody else. This is for me, is like, as I learn and study stuff, it's like, it doesn't make me lord myself over the next guy. It makes me a freedom fighter for the next guy. That's what it does. Like, it literally works in me. I go, I don't want that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to associate with that. My hope is not in this world. If my hope is in this world, it's such a vain thing. My hope, like, it sheds off all the aspirations and the carnal strivings and the earthly kingdom building pursuits of this life. And what the Truther movement has done for me is make me so fixed on Christ Jesus and the hope of the resurrection and the coming kingdom of my Lord and Savior that I don't care. I live in a double wide. I don't care. I don't want my reward in this life. Like, I don't care. You can mock me, scoff me, revile me, say all kinds of things about me on account of Christ Jesus. I know biblically, Matthew 5, that I'm blessed because you do that. I don't mind that I'm poor in spirit and that I'm undone by the wickedness that's going on in the world. I want to be like Lot in 1 Peter 2, who is tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard in the city day and night. And if God knows how to rescue Lot, then surely he knows how to rescue the righteous from the day of disaster that's coming. It's like, see, the information to me is it creates a mortification, fancy word, of the flesh and a love of the world and the things of the world. I don't care. I don't want the esteem of men. I want the esteem of my holy God and my Savior through Christ Jesus. Like, I don't want the validation. I don't want the money. I don't want the whatever. Those things in and of themselves aren't bad. There's nothing bad. Those are just functions of life, right? They're benign. They're neither good nor bad. It's about your heart behind it. So authentic truth actually should fill you with like compassion. You go like, dude, that person, like they're in bondage to pornography. They don't even know. Like that's destroying their soul. It's actually destroying their mind. It's actually worse than being on a heroin addiction. And like that toxic relationship is robbing from this and robbing from that. And that pursuit of the next addition that they can put on their house is like such a vain thing. The whole economy is going to collapse while their wife is wanting to file for divorce and their kids hate them because they're a piss poor leader of their household. It's like, dude, I'm not coming to lord over you. I'm coming out of authentic love to shine light into the darkness so that you would throw off that junk and actually live. And it's like, that's the other thing too about the truther movement that I know it's done in my own life is it has caused me to live intentionally. Intentionally, I pursue people with intentionality. I don't waste my time. It says in Ephesians 5, redeem the time for the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise, not unwise, discerning the times. And it's like, it should be doing something instead of these nasty gram, sycophant, narcissist, like truth or whatever. Like, I mean, they're literally the same as Antifa. Same spirit, same posture.
I'm going to say a few things here that are probably going to make me lose a lot of subscribers. I really don't care. For one thing, I want this to be known. I never wanted to do this. And Jamie, you know that. I never wanted to do this. I wanted my cool job working for the government. Now, everybody will say that, Doug, you're a new world order or whatever because you said the government's cool. I had a cool job.
I had a cool job too, bro. I love that. I love that stuff.
I'm a man of action. I enjoyed my cool job. I enjoyed bringing the violence to the people who wanted to hurt people. All right, that just is what it is. But you know, I'm glad God pulled me out of it because not only have all the scales been taken off my eyes now and my ears are unblocked. But I see everything as the way God was trying to get me to see many years ago. But I would not know that had I not been where I was. Same for you. But here's something that I saw many years ago that I said, we have a serious problem. Steve Quayle. At Steve Quayle's conference, and I don't remember which one it was, my wife and I were standing right there by Bob Griswold and his wife. Very nice people. And Bob has his booth. He's selling night vision. And Steve is talking with us. And then he goes over there and is talking with Bob. And he picks up a set of night vision. Okay? It's like $4,000. Okay? So he picks up this night vision. And he's looking at it, right? He's looking through it. And then he puts it back down. And he meanders off and goes and talks to someone else. You know how Steve is. He's a social butterfly. He just bounces around. And then two women in at least their mid-60s, all right, dressed, not in fatigues, probably have no idea what it was that Steve just picked up. They literally are fighting over this freaking night vision device because Steve Quayle touched it.
Yeah, that's a problem. And I know that you know, I know – obviously knowing these guys personally that do have a, you know, a bigger audience or greater influence, you know, and the Skywatch family over there and Steve and Doug and Dave, and I don't know, name, you know, Pastor Paul Bagley, love hanging out with Pastor Paul Bagley and L.A. Marzulli and stuff. Got to be on expedition with L.A. Marzulli and Paracas for a little while. And like all these different guys. And it's like, that's not what they're promoting. And that's not how they view themselves. And they don't do any of that. But it's the mentality of the people, you know, and it's like even the fear-based response. And this like just throw money at everything because I heard XYZ on an interview from one of these men or women that are out in front sharing these things. It's like when you talk to these guys, they're like, I don't want that for the people. I want them to get their heart right with the Lord. That's what every single one of these guys says. The only reason why I'm burdened to do what I do is so that you would do business with the Lord, so that you wouldn't be caught up. You wouldn't be caught unaware. You wouldn't be deceived, and that you would actually not live in fear and even financial ruin because you're throwing money at all these things, but that you would know that your hope is in Christ alone. Every single one of them, if you ask them, why do you say the things that you do? Why do you share the things that you do? They would tell you the same thing. Be for the glory of God through the Son, Jesus Christ. They would say the same thing. And so it's like, even they can't control how people perceive the information, how they compartmentalize it, or how they misuse the information. And that's why this truther movement is, it's out of control. And when I talk about this often, a lot of different, you know, platforms or whatever, is we're talking about the spirit of the age, Doug, not the spirit of those guys. And I think that's the distinction that the truther movement needs to make. It's not the spirit of everybody else, except for us, because we're truthers. It's the spirit of the age, which means you are just as susceptible to it. Doug and I are just as susceptible to it as somebody in Joel Osteen's church, or somebody who's, you know, undergirding BLM because they think they're so amazing and this utopic social, you know, justice thing is going on in real time. They're deceived. They're deceived. They're deceived. They're deceived. They're deceived. They're deceived. And in the truther movement, there is major deception, major deception. And that's why it's like, to have what would be the word? Like an honest, intellectually honest, spiritually and emotionally honest self-evaluation to go, why do I do what I do? Why do I pursue the information that I pursue? Is it doing something to me? Is it causing me to be more relational? Or is it alienating me from people? Is it causing me to be intentional with my finances and my time? Or am I just sitting here listening to it all and then fire hosing somebody because I think I'm no better than them about flat earth, terraforming, you know, whatever stuff going on? And it's like, what is it doing in you? Has it created peace and fruit in your life? Or has it made everything around you poisonous and ineffectual? So it's like, test that. Test what the information is doing in you.
Look, I always said I wouldn't do this, but, you know, hey, screw it, right? The problem with flat earth is not your theory. It's your cultic church that you have created.
Bingo. That's all it. Right? Same with Torah observant. The problem with
hollow earth and, you know, the throne of Satan that's inside of it. One thing, you can't prove any of this stuff. But you give it more merit because some guy on YouTube talks about it, then you should probably read your Bible. I got red pilled a long, long time ago, and I have slowly crawled out of the darkness. But you know, I slowly crawled out of it. And therefore, you know, I took my bumps and breaks and scars, and I have learned things. However, thankfully, I never attached myself to like one thing. Because I know some people, they'll email me, Doug, tell me everything about giants. I don't know. I know what I can research. And by the way, I have a computer. You have a computer. You can research this stuff too, you know? I get really deep into declassified CIA files because, and as a historian, it is remarkable what we've gotten ourselves into. Like, I'm about to start getting into the declassified CIA report on the Adam and Eve story. And that is like the telltale sign of where all this crazy stuff came from. In the Adam and Eve story that's declassified on CIA.gov, it literally talks about flat earth, round earth, hollow earth, the Younger Dryas impact effect, flash freezing, all these different animals. Then it talks about Adam and Eve and Jesus and Hinduism and how all these events happened with a great flood. And really what it is, it's a New Ageism that tried to throw all religions and experiences of the world together.
Yeah, yeah. And, there's always a perverse twist to it, well, for sure.
As I always say, it was wrote in like 62. So in the 60s, what were we doing in the CIA? Mockingbird, Monarch, yep. MK Ultra. Come on,
social
guys.
Social engineering. Engineering program began in the 60s. And lo and behold,
when these dudes were going out to Mexico and getting, you know, mushrooms and tripping on it and then writing classified documents. I met with aliens after this many. And,
I had an automatic writing experience when I was on ayahuasca for 7 months straight. Like, no kidding. I guarantee you had an automatic writing experience. But, you know, I mean, as we're talking, it made me think of this. There's only one time that I know of in scripture. I mean, obviously, who am I, right? Like, I have a lifetime to study the word. But there's only one time in scripture where it says you are nothing. You are, like, your essence, your being, you physically are nothing. Not you lack something, or you have nothing, or you're nullifying something, but you in your essence are nothing. Do you know what it is, Doug? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, how much mysteries and how not much knowledge? All. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. You actually are nothing. And I think about that all the time. The knowledge, the Gnosticism, it means nothing if you can't rightly love. And say, like you were saying, I mean, a good point. It's like, it's not about flat earth, hollow earth, Torah observant, whatever. Like, pick your dogma. It's always going to be about the heart. It's always going to be about the heart of a person in the posture of pre-trib, post-trib, this, you know, that, the other thing, you know, and it's like on and on it goes. But when you use knowledge for self-glorification and self-esteem, now you have a problem. Because it doesn't benefit anybody. And that's why, like, it's the meek who will inherit the earth. The meek, ladies and gents. You know what meekness translates to? Two ways that it translates. One is setting aside of your rights. That's what it means. Christ Jesus, true and better example of meekness. He could have called down legions of angels to deliver him from the cross. He didn't have to do that, but he set aside his rights as the King of Glory for your sake, for your good, meekness, right? But the other definition of meekness, which I love, is it's a war horse bridled. So it's fascinating. In the book of Job, it talks about the power and the prowess and the spirit of a war horse. It hears the sound of battle. It turns and it snorts and it paws out the ground to run into the battle. It can charge headlong into the battle. It can destroy anybody out there, right? It can lord itself over other people. That's a war horse can do that. But it entrusts itself to the one holding the reins. So it's a bridled war horse. It doesn't do what it would choose to do. It submits itself. It surrenders itself under the high authority of Christ Jesus and of the word of the Lord. That's what meekness is. Like, I could, you don't think I could knowledge somebody to death and beat them over the head with doctrines and theologies and history? Like, I have degrees in this stuff. I'm very well versed in these things. And then I have the physical life applications where I don't just read about it. I go into the field and experience these things. I could beat people over the head all day long with this stuff. What good is that? That does not produce righteousness. It doesn't produce sanctification. It doesn't produce radiancy in people. All it does is puff up. And again, that's another verse. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Oh, here's another verse. Ecclesiastes, with much knowledge comes much sorrow. So I say, how's it working out, neo-Gnostics? Like, you might as well be a Freemason, because that's what they're all about, is the mysteries, the mystery schools, the mystery religions, the ancient secrets, the secret knowledge, the alchemy, the this and that. And what do they do with it? Use it to lord over all of humanity.
What's so dangerous about the mystery schools and all this other stuff is that it's all psychological warfare. People need to break this down. It's got you talking about it. It's got you researching it. It's got you spending more time discussing it with buddies and sending links to new YouTube videos and watching that. And how much have you prayed? How much have you spent time with your kids reading the Bible?
How are you loving your wife? I always say that's, dude, bro, that's always my answer when I get these nasty grams. I go, I'll tell you what, when you master loving your wife as Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her, making her spotless, blameless, without wrinkle, radiant. I said, when you master that, you come back to me and we'll debate Bible translations. It's like, but you can't even do what you know the Lord's called you to, which is to rightly love your wife. So like, let's start there because I know that that's his will for you. So your King James, which was written by Sir Francis Bacon, which Shakespeare was his pen name in 1611, does not validate you as being righteous. That has no validation. It's the blood of Christ, which is the sufficiency of your righteousness. It's the blood of Christ, which makes you blameless and spotless before the Lord and able to stand in his presence with great joy. Not your King James.
There's a problem that comes from pastors who will say that.
Oh, absolutely.
And look, hey guys, I'm gonna point at a group of people and you're probably going to like it or you're not going to like it. I really don't care. But boomers from that boomer generation, if you vary outside of their train of thought, man, they're all over you. They're all over you about everything. All right. Now, granted, that generation is probably a little bit more laid back than our current generation. And, you know, people thinking they can be cats and all over different types of really weird stuff. But, you know, there's a haughtiness that comes from this. The average email that I get, I'll not say the average. Here, I'll talk about this. The average email that I get from people who want to learn what my skill set is. Jamie, what was Doug's skill set? Guns. That was Doug's skill set, right? Same for Jamie's. All right. So what I can teach you is what I have professionally been taught and applied for 15 years. Now, the majority of people who reach out to me wanting to know this type of skill set are women from the ages of 30 to 70. And then more especially women in the ages of 60 to 70.
I was going to say the number one person in my sphere of influence is women over 60.
Yep. And in the Google analytics and YouTube analytics, if you have a YouTube channel, you're a YouTube content creator, you can see the analytics. That's the majority is women from like 55 to 70. All right. I'm glad that the sisters are listening. They are looking for male leadership.
Yes. They are
not there.
They're languishing for authentic, for the warrior priest to arise. I talk about the warrior priesthood all the time, all throughout scripture, Genesis to Revelation. They were warrior priesthood. True and better example, Christ Jesus. That's Lord, right. Is a warrior. The Lord is his name, right? But he's also the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And so they're all warrior priests. Abraham, after returning from the slaughter, met with Melchizedek and he was blessed, right? It's like every single one of them, from Samuel to Elijah to Ezekiel to Jeremiah.
You couldn't get crazier.
Nahum to Zephaniah.
You couldn't get crazier than Elijah.
They're all were warrior and priest. And why? And people don't understand why a warrior priesthood, because they don't understand the spirit of warrior. They hear warrior and they think bloodlust. What they don't understand is the spirit of a warrior is selflessly sacrificial. That's what determines a warrior. They lay down their lives when nobody else will. They sweat harder. They bleed more. They train hard. They go without sleep. They die to self so that others may live. Look at all the axioms of the warrior cultures in the United States of America. All of our tier one and tier two operators, Marines and stuff like that. All their mottos and their ethos and their axioms are all centered on selfless sacrifice. No greater love is there than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you obey my commands. Christ Jesus coined literally the axiom of warrior cultures. No greater love is there than this. No greater love. And so they don't understand that a warrior priest, the two are symbiotic. They have to go together because warriors do what they do out from authentic love, not a bloodlust. That's what pagans do. That's what, you know, these Vikings and the Norse guys do. That's what Islam does. That's what all these ancient cultures, they were centered on a bloodlust. But the redeemed of the Lord is the opposite. And actually, this is one of the unique qualifiers about the U.S. military that people don't understand. U.S. military, one, it is not conscripted. It is all volunteer. And two, overall, they're trying to corrupt it right now. But the ethos and the character and the code of conduct of the U.S. military in general has been about selfless sacrifice for the greater good. That's what made America great, was the spirit of the young men and women going into the armed forces. Now they're trying to corrupt that and they're trying to taint that, because that is what made us singularly stand out in the history of humanity. Did everybody hear me? In the history of humanity, America has been a standout, and it was because of that ethos of selfless sacrifice. So what have they done? They've infiltrated communism, Marxism, which is Luciferianism. They've infiltrated to make you a lover of self. Mm-hmm. Instead of selfless, they've tried to make you selfish. They've tried to do it through the culture, through the pop culture, through the music industry, through Hollywood, through our government, unelected leadership. Well, it's been all about narcissism. And what's, again, the indicator of the spirit of the age? They will be lovers of self rather than God.
Centered, you know,
self-centered.
We share so many commonalities, especially with audience. So we know that women from the ages of 55 to 70 seek for protection, and they're seeking leadership and guidance, are they not?
Yeah. Okay.
Men from the ages of 20 to 70, for one thing, barely listen to what we say. The analytics prove it. Two, are the most arrogant, haughty, self-centered, and sometimes absolute crazed of all the individuals. And that is a curse upon the nation.
It is.
I get people in their early 20s who will say, I'm a prophet of God. I got a dude who told me he was a clone of Jesus.
How about the super apostles? I'm a super apostle. I'm like, huh, interesting.
I've never
even do tell.
Yeah. Please carry on. And then you'll have guys who will not, and I'm not saying in general, okay? I do have plenty of guys that I conversate with that are good dudes, that are the good brothers, and you know, they're wanting to promote the cross, not themselves.
Yeah, there's solid guys out there, but it's for the listeners, it's very few. Minuscule. Just so you know, it's very minuscule. Few.
Yeah.
Very
few. But more than not, I'll have guys who will read me the riot act because I have tattoos. Hey, guess what? I was a Norse pagan before I became a Christian. I was a Norse pagan before I became a Christian. Okay.
Praise God.
I can't take my tattoos off.
The power of the gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't take off my tattoos. Sorry. Let me say this. I'm not going to apologize for anything. I'm not going to apologize for God, the Bible, standing by the word of God, being a man of God, knowing that in my past I was filled with sin. Okay. I fought that fight against sin and lost. And I'm still fighting that fight against sin. The law of sin is the thing that we will never be able to conquer. Christ conquered that.
Amen.
We have to rally together as men. We need to rally together as men. We are the ones under attack. We're the ones they want to demasculate. Hey, come demasculate 22-inch arms. I don't care how many guys email me, Doug, you always talk about violence. If I always talk about violence, then why did Jesus say, sell your cloak, buy a sword? Did Jesus at the same verse say, sell your cloak and buy my book, my ticket to my conference? Come visit with me while I'm out here looking at stuff. He said, sell your cloak, buy a sword. There is a training thought there. You need to defend yourself. I'm going to eventually give you people who were specifically designed on how to teach that to you. I think I might be one of those people. I think Jamie might be one of those people. If not, we're going to try because we have the experience. But that doesn't make me holier than thou. That doesn't say, and listen, I know I'm going to offend people. Do not worship me. Do not call me a prophet. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the book. Because people get caught up. Man, there is a cult around the people in our groups. There is a cult following. And the cult following carries these books with them.
Yeah, they follow personalities. And again, like, you know, known a lot of these guys personally, they don't want that. They don't. No. They're like, stop. Look at the Lord. Stop. Like, quit following the personality, you know. And I tell anybody, it's like, dude, I mean, it's progressive sanctification, right? Like, I'm nobody. And where I'm at today, I'm like, look closely at my life or any, you're always going to find error. You're going to find things that you disagree with. You're going to find things that you think are grievous to the Lord. And it's like, but where I'm at today is not where I'm going to be a year from now. And where I'm at today is definitely not where I'm going to be a decade from now if the Lord tarries. It's like the Lord is constantly working in my heart, constantly cutting off the flesh and cutting off branches that don't bear fruit. Even the ones that do bear fruit, he prunes so that they'll bear even more fruit. And it's like, dude, it's about, we're just going that way. One of the things I love about the Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians, is he says, this one thing I know. And I'm like, if he's saying that, this must be pretty important, right? Like, think of all that, all of his experiences of life. And even his intimacy with walking with the Lord, right? Having been a persecutor to being persecuted for the sake of Christ. And he says, this one thing I know or this one thing I've learned, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to pay attention to that. He says, I never look back. I only look forward in Christ Jesus. Okay. So it's like, I'm going that way to glorify my King. And I know the sufficiency of the blood of Christ over me. He said that he's going to make me stand in his presence, blameless and with great joy. Book of Jude, right? Jude 1. And it's like, so then that's the completed work of Christ. He said, like, no one can bring a condemnation against you. No one can separate you from the love of God. And angel nor demon, no light nor darkness, no height, no depth, no nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that has been past tense, hello, made known to you in Christ Jesus to the glory of the Father. Then he's going to get me home. I mean, 1 Peter 1 says that he's going to guard me to my inheritance by his power. I'm good to go, ladies and gents. So I'm going that way with my eyes fixed on my King, eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of my faith. And so, again, this goes back to, like, what are we missing? It's like, you can say it over and over and over again. It's like, dude, I can't preach any more emphatically than what I preach and teach. And then you get the email like, so you said the Apophis asteroid is coming by in 2025, but my flat earth buddy told me that you're a false teacher. And it's like, oh my goodness, that was your takeaway? Like, that was your takeaway. Then it's like, talk about casting pearls before the swine, dude. But I think that's why the scriptures are very clear, Revelation 2 and 3. Christ is reiterating this over and over and over again to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. Those with ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Those with ears to hear. So it's like, maybe you didn't have the ears to hear. Maybe you don't want the ears to hear.
Well, and because
maybe you've already made your choice.
And your ears are all clogged up with sensationalism.
Yeah.
You know,
or pride or listen, whatever, you know.
Listen, I'm going to read from Proverbs real quick. All right. Last night, this is what we were doing Bible study over. And I have two sons now. You know, I have my infant son, and then I have a 5-year-old. And it is my job as a man to make sure that he grows up to be a better man than I was. Every father, that is your charge. Don't teach your kids to be cruel and violent, and do not misrepresent God in front of them, because they watch everything that you do. They're going to be you, or they're going to run from you and become maybe worse, maybe better, right? But it is up to you to train your children, to teach your children, right? So have a care for what you do. And for any men out there, I would like for you, if you have young children, especially sons, start with Proverbs 3. All right, listen. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it goes into then, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, which is probably something that every single person listening right now, turn to Proverbs 3 and read, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. All right, you need to find a little wisdom in your life. A Father's Wise Instruction. That's chapter 4. And then here we go. We're into chapter 6. All right. There are six things, starting at verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Pay attention.
Pay attention to all you who
love to sensationalize and who love anything about sensationalism. Pay attention for a second, because this is where I keep telling you, you're going to get caught up. All right. These are the six things that God hates, seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That shouldn't be anyone in this crowd, right? A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Yep. I always think one who sows discord. Haughty eyes and one who sows discord.
You may get all of L.A. Marzulli's On the Trail of the Nephilim videos and books and read up on it. You may get all the giant stuff with Steve and Timothy Alberino and read up on it. But what you don't need to do is you don't need to go around now, like if you're the subject matter expert upon these extra things, and then try and to like force your will upon people like the flat earthers do, and you're like, Here we are trying to talk about Jesus, and there'll be some jackwagon that'll get in the comic section. They're false prophets because they don't believe in the flat earth. Where does it say that in this book that flat earth leads you to redemption, or that giants led you to redemption, or that Trump leads you to redemption? It's not there. You're getting so spun up and entangled amongst the spider web of lies that you're going to miss the actual truth. And it's Jesus. And he's the one that sets you free. Not Donald Trump. Not Mitch McConnell. Not Elon Musk. Not Flat Earth, Hollow Earth, alien visitors. Not giants.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, are those things in and of themselves wrong or bad? No, absolutely not. I think they have amazing value, but it's keep it in its proper context and its proper lane.
It's all the mixture that makes up the red pill. All right.
Exactly. But you got to understand. Yeah. All has value. And I go, you know, something Coach Dave always would tell me, and I think it's good for everybody to hear, is as he said, "Hey, brother," if anybody knows Coach Dave, he's super intense. Right. And he's like, "Hey, man, you plow your row, I'll plow mine. I'll see you at the end of the field."
That's right.
And what he's saying is like, you do what the Lord's called you to do, Jamie. I'm doing what the Lord's called me to do. We're all working for the same goal, which is to glorify the Lord. I'll see you at the other end. So you study that out, because I don't have time to study all these things. And I have a working knowledge of all kinds of different things. It's like, if that's what the Lord's burned you for, you run it all the way out. Don't ever use it to lord over the next guy. Do it because you want to do it to glorify the Lord. Study it and use it to set the captives free. And those who sit in dark dungeons, and to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Use it for good. I don't care if it's aliens, if it's New Age, if it's mystery school occultism, if it's the antediluvian, you know, archaeoastronomy, whatever it is. If it's the feast days and the Torah and how they all relate and they all point to Christ, whatever you do, you better do it for the glory of the Lord, not for your own vain self-exaltation. It's like, you do what you do, and I'm going to do what I do. And this is why a body has many parts. People are like, "Oh my goodness, you know, I can't believe, you know, you would say this and that and the other thing. That has no relevance in a Christian reality. I can't believe you talk about those things." And I go, it's not relevant to you, but to that New Ager who just came to know the Lord because I exposed, you know, and share with them in love and truth the things that they're studying and worshiping and how it's been a deception, it mattered to them. Well, and the person who's having abduction experiences or, you know, sleep paralysis, it matters to them. And the biker who's been rough and tumble and was beat by their dad their whole life, and that's all they known as their identity, is to be this masculine bravado guy that goes around throat punching people. It matters to him. Mm-hmm. And it matters to the girl whose identity has been destroyed because she was sexually abused as a child and nobody can connect to her, and they write her off because she's promiscuous or whatever. It matters to her. So how dare you, haughty, self-righteous, puffed up Christians with all your little silly dogmas, think that it doesn't matter. This is why it's a body with many parts. Doug from Norse paganism, covered in tattoos, can connect with people in a way that my wife, who was born and raised in a church and a pastor's daughter, she'll never be able to connect to the people that Doug can. But Doug can't connect to the people that she can. Hence a body, ladies and gents. It is a beautiful thing. So diverse. Isn't it funny, Doug? It's just dawned on me as we think about this. Everything that these libtards want and all these socialist reprobates want, this counterfeit utopia of, you know, multiculturalism and multi-whatever blah, blah, that they're trying to create, is actually what Christ already established with the church.
That's right.
It's like there's no color, there's no creed, there's no family of origin, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female, there's no whatever. It's like it's all Christ is all in all head over all, and we're all parts of the body.
When people realize like all these different denominations are doing nothing but water down the word of God, you know, listen, there are black churches, there are black only churches, there are white only churches, and then you have spinoffs like Mormonism and all this other really crazy stuff. We are our own worst enemy. And here I want to say this. I want to say a few things. All right. For people who have a problem with me, you're going to have a problem with me. I'm not going to shut up. You can unsubscribe. You can not like, share, and comment, and that's fine with me. I'm doing what God told me to do. Not everyone is going to like that. Not very many people like Saul, did they? All right. How many times did Paul walk around and people go, oh, there's that guy? All right. That's been me in my experience so far as being a Christian, because look at me. You know, I mean, I've been disinvited to churches.
I mean, you're hideous.
Yeah. I have the shape of an ogre. I can't help it. Yes. You know, I've been disinvited to churches. I have had people come up and say, you should really cover up all your tattoos when you're here. You should look more presentable. And in my mind, didn't Jesus say, come as you are? Well, I came. I took the first faithful steps. I'm in the house. I didn't know my feet were going to catch on fire, because not from God, but from the people in here, right? So as Jesus said, if they're not against me, then they're for me. And if I'm for God and for Jesus, then why are so many of you against me and against James and against others? It's not because we're not talking about the truth. It's because you are caught up in sensationalism. You are caught up in the dopamine and endorphin release of every couple months needs something new to blow my mind.
Yeah, it's the next rat. It is a broken cistern. I said that at the beginning of the show, that can hold no water. It's an insatiable appetite, and it will never be satisfied. But Christ Jesus said, come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come drink from the living waters so that you'll never thirst again. Drinking from poison wells and poison cisterns. They're not going to satisfy. Dude,
every morning I wake up, I feel like I'm in an oasis until I get into my Bible.
Amen, dude. I don't know. And you know, like, even for you know, the haters going to hate and potatoes going to potate, as Andy Melanakis once said. That shows you how old I am. But like, haters going to hate, potatoes going to potate. But it's like, you look at, like, let's say, Doug, how long ago were you full on Norse pagan? Like, how long ago did you full on say, oh my goodness, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, take it all? How long ago was that?
Probably 4 years.
Two ago. 2 years? Four years ago?
Yeah, maybe. The stirrings happened, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Happened. But I mean, when you're like, dude, this is the only thing I want. Like, oh, yeah, like I now, I once was blind, now I can see. So it's like 2 years ago, and with the zeal of the Lord in your heart stirred, you now have a podcast and a broadcast where every day you're shining light into the darkness and then building up in the gospel and in the power of Christ Jesus. 2 years. Yeah. And it's like, for people to be gracious and merciful and go, praise God. Okay. Doug's a freaking gorilla. Do you want a guy like Doug still being a Norse pagan that worships a blood cult? Like, dude, you ought to be given, like, praise God. He once was blind. Now he can see. Like, I praise God for where he's at. I don't go, look at where he's not at. Look at his lack of understanding, or he misquoted that, or he didn't use that in the right context, or, ooh, I don't know, his theology's messed up. It's like, what? The dude's walking by faith with the Lord for 2 years. You're going to start beating him over the head with theology and doctrine? Why don't you give God glory that he snatches us from the fires and from the pits, and we're no longer children of the wrath, but we're heirs of a promise. And that's, again, that misconception. I mean, just this week, I had a family leave my church, young family. Over text, by the way, over text. And they said, you're disqualified from leadership because of where you're at in your sanctification process. We will not subject ourselves to that because I am playful and I joke. And they're like, you're supposed to be serious as a Christian. You're disqualified. And I'm like, wow. That's fascinating. So it's like, so you've arrived as your 28-year-old, you've arrived in holiness and righteousness, and you really got it figured out. That's awesome. You know, and it's like, but again, you see this disconnect where it's all about the flesh and the pride of the flesh and the boasting in what he has and does and the lust of the eyes. Think about this truth or movement. There's lust in your eyes for these things. There's boasting in what you have and what you do, and you're missing the heart, the heart, the heart. That's a series I've been going through for the last 6 months. You can go to my YouTube channel and work through the series talking about the matters of the heart and making the right distinctions and divisions from the heart to the flesh and all these different areas. And the reason why I chose to, or the Lord burdened me to move into this series and start working through these things, is because of the emails and the phone calls I get. I'm like, there's such a disconnect.
Well, you know
the heart.
The thing about what I've been able to do so far, and praise God, for one thing, praise God for everyone who emails me encouraging letters. I'm not Amen. Debbie Downer. I'm not depressed. I'm just a very stoic, serious person. Jamie knows that. We have plenty of what you could call jackassery moments when we're together, because as you know, two Marines, you know, if you don't know that brotherhood, if you don't know those experiences and you don't know the terror that comes along with it, then you don't understand graveyard humor. For me, man, I've had a lot of young dudes reach out to me, and I've been able, like, especially at my gym and then a few other places, I've been able to actually, you know, preach the word of God to some of these guys who are promiscuous. They're drinking every night, chasing women, you know, and you know, from 19 to 20s, and that's all they got on their mind. And I'm trying to tell them, listen, as a professional adult, I'm going to give you some advice I wish someone gave me.
Yeah,
don't,
absolutely.
Don't do that. Don't
yeah,
do that.
It won't satisfy. I always say that.
Save your money.
It's going to satisfy. It won't.
Yeah, save your money. Save yourself for the right person. Save your money. If you feel like you need to go do something stupid, start doing push-ups. Go for a run until you can't breathe. Like, there are other things that you can do to trick your mind, right? Go shoot. That's my – I don't take this gun out enough shooting. But it will be out there today shooting.
Yeah. Hey, come out to Colorado. We do all kinds of stupid stuff out here.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, you know? And I've had a few brothers from the Marine Corps reach out to me. Hey, man, I just randomly came across you in a podcast, and now I'm starting to read my Bible more because you told me I need to. And I'm like, I didn't really say that, but I'm cool that it's translating in your head. You need to be doing that. That's God coming to you saying, stop sinning. Listen to me as your father. I'm trying to give you wise counsel. I'm trying to tell you, like in Proverbs 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, as your father, listen to me. I will guide you and instruct you. My words will be sweet to you, and they will give you a long-lasting, satisfying life. You're not going to give that to yourself. You're going to booze it up. You're going to take drugs. You're going to watch pornography. You're going to commit adultery. You're going to lie, sin, all these things, because that's in your sinful flesh nature. I'm trying to give you the out. And there are other people that have made it to this level. I'm at a certain level of climbing that ladder. All right. Jamie, I would have to say, is probably higher than me because I've only started this a couple of years ago. But I can at least turn around and say, I never knew how detrimental my life was until Christ showed me, right? So where you can find me when everything is said and done, Doug is going back to the trenches where the dead men are, because I'm going to try and bring life back to them. That's where I was found, in the trenches. Yep.
I talk about the freedom fighter. Even in my book, I wrote a whole chapter on the freedom fighter. And always Christ Jesus, the true and better example of a freedom fighter. And what's unique about a freedom fighter is they know the depth of bondage, what it's like to be under tyranny or under oppression. Think spiritually, emotionally, physically, right? They know the depth of the oppression and of the bondage. They hate it. They reproach it. And when they get freedom from that, they don't cut and run and go to the high country and live fat off the hog. That's not what they do. They know the depth of the oppression and the tyranny and the deceptions and the strangleholds. And with this zeal and imbued with this sense of freedom, they go right back in. This is where you get insurgencies and counterinsurgencies. This is guerrilla warfare 101. They go back in to fight for the freedom of others. They go back to fight for the freedom of their family members, or their villages, or their communities that are still in bondage mm-hmm. to tyranny. I'm not talking governmentally. I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Like, they are still, and they don't use their freedom for self gain. They use that freedom, and they have this innate compulsion. They're compelled to go right back to where they got delivered from, to deliver the other captives from the tyranny. That's the true nature of a freedom fighter. And again, Christ Jesus, the true and better example. It says the Son of Man was made manifest for this reason, 1 John 3:8, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. He came to fight for freedom because he knows freedom in its fullness, and he sees the bondage and the tyranny and the oppression in its fullness and the bondage, and he came to fight. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. I didn't say that. That's what the scriptures say. It's violence of action wins the day. Violence of action for what? For self-glorification? No, violence of action for freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For freedom's sake, Christ has set you free, right? Like, it's literally all about freedom. Well, and that's why all this patriotism talk, it's like, yes, freedom does have value. God truly values freedom. But freedom of your mind and freedom of your spirit and freedom even from the curse of sin and death has so much more value than the freedom that a government could ever offer.
Look, I'm a patriot through and through. You and I both are. All right, I got American flags all over this freaking room. You know, I got the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence right over there. And I do my best to read it every single week to remind myself of what better men fought and died for. And women, too, by the way. But my goal is to bring what I have been shown and taught through my experience, through my walk as a Christian, back to guys like me. For whatever reason, that's the pull that God has on me, right? Praise God that other people even listen to me. I don't think I'm half the time even worth listening to. I'm no Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli, all right? That's not the goal. The goal is to train up warrior men again. So I'm going to say this as the last thing before I give it back to you, Jamie. For all you men out there, get up off of your excuse and get in shape. You talk about sensationalism crap all the time. The Illuminati, the Bigfoot, the aliens, the giants, all this other crazy stuff that, you know, has value to an extent. That's not what's going to physically come in your house and kill you. Bad people with bad intentions are what you're going to have to fight against. And on the other side of it is you're going to have to fight against your heart, because you've grown fat and complacent and lazy. And most of you who think I'm going to be there for the ultimate World War III throwdown with all my cool tactical gadgets, most of you are going to, most of you are going to die on the jog out there.
Good luck.
Have a good self-assessment of your body, men. Take charge of your body. Take charge of your mind and take charge of your family and carry out the plan of the day, which is to live by Christ, not by anyone else. No matter how great all of our friends are, live by Christ and by Christ alone, and you will be all right. Jamie, carry us out.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, man. I mean, that's a good word. And I just think none of the external stuff is what's going to kill you. I can tell you unequivocally, scripturally, and biblically, what will kill you is apathy. The complacency of fools kills them. The complacency of Proverbs 2 or 1. One or two. I don't know. Read them both, right? In full context. But the Lord speaks woe over the complacent. So the Chinese, the Russians, the Bigfoots, and the Disclosure and Project Bluebeam and Project Blue Book and CERN and the Portal and the Hollow Earth and things coming up.
Cool.
That's not what's going to kill you. Apathy and complacency is what will kill you. And I'm talking spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And it's like, it starts with the household. When you look at the sin of Achan, Joshua 7, the Lord said, you cannot stand against your enemies until you purify your camp, till you remove the devoted things from your camp. God says, you have been made liable for destruction on the battlefield because you have unclean things hidden in your camp. Yes, and you know how God deals with them? He doesn't deal with the nation of Israel. He goes, tribe, clan, family, man by man. Go read it. He works his way down the hierarchy, and eventually it's each man who's responsible for the head of his own family that he does business with. Oh, how did they rebuild the walls in the days of Nehemiah? It says, in each man
with a sword in his hand,
and to repair the stones, the broken wall in front of his own house first. Each man to the individual. Stop waiting for Republicans and conservatism to do something. It's you and your household. This is what makes a nation great again. You want to make a nation great again? Purify your camp and lead your family from the front as a warrior priest. Turn off the stupid TV. Cancel Netflix with its reprobate series that you're watching every night.
And
quit
Disney.
Trying to build your earthly kingdom and love your wife and children and lead them from the front. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. This is what it looks like to repair the broken walls.
Yeah. I mean, become an asset or become a liability to your family. That's really one or the other.
Yeah. There's no gray area. You're either an asset or a liability.
You're either spiritually and physically an asset or you're spiritually and physically a liability. And time's growing short.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, man, that's a good word, dude. I mean, we can wrap it up. I know we're getting long here on the interview, but good stuff. So this is just a rant. It's just Doug and I ranting, but there's
please,
value in it.
You know, this will be on, YouTube. This will be on, YouTube shouldn't cancel me for this. We yelled at our own people, right? So, you know,
yeah, we didn't hit the trigger words. By the way, to the dude who sent me an email saying I'm a hypocrite and a reprobate because I have videos on YouTube and they're an evil Luciferian system when there's free Patriot platforms I could be using. Just whatever, dude. Just keep your emails to yourself. You have no clue how this reality works. It's like, it's again, so dumb.
Every day I have to convince myself not to go and work at Tractor Supply at this point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, I would rather work at Tractor Supply restocking things, listening to audiobooks, than doing what I'm doing half the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we'll stay the course because it's not about us.
Not about
for
me.
The listeners, it's not about you. It'll never be about you. It's about the person to the left and to the right of you. That's something that Doug and I learned in the Marine Corps as combat war fighters. It had nothing to do with the flag, right, Doug? Were you fighting for a flag? I never once fought for a flag. I never once fought for a political party, and I never once fought for, you know, who was in power at the time. It was my brothers to the left and to the right. I did not care what or why we were fighting. We were fighting for each other. That's all I knew.
The goal was to get home.
That was it. I didn't care about all these other bigger, higher, supposedly altruistic things from these armchair quarterbacks that are sitting in their mom's basement, you know, trying to throw stones at people all the time. It's like, you don't know what you don't know, what it looks like to selflessly sacrifice and lay down your life for the next guy, even while they're your enemy. Cause that's what Christ did for Doug and I. While we were his enemies, he died for us, that he might call us friends and heirs and co-heirs and sons and daughters of the Most High. Dude, yeah. Come on, man. I'm all in.
Yeah. You know, fighting for the man to your left and right. That's what made the phalanx, the shield walls, great. You know, the glue that holds you in together during that battle and the shield wall isn't, you know, so much the weaponry or the tactics. It's the love for one another. And if we would just do as our master described in loving one another, then we can take care of the brother and sister to our left and to our right, who's all together in this shield wall with us. Come join the phalanx of Christ at this point. Come pick up your sword and your shield and join the phalanx, and let's get home together. Though the point is that we all go home, not this earthly home, but to the throne room. So the more you can spread the knowledge of Christ and the redemption, the love and compassion of Christ, that's being the warrior and soldier that we're asking you to be, right? And be bold in your faith. That's all we ask. Be bold in your faith. And if you got nothing nice to say, pray about it. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, exactly. Guys, that's all I got.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, bro.
Yeah, man. We should probably do this a little bit more. But hey, how's your house? I know you got an avalanche that just fell on top of you. I mean,
if you can see the sun bouncing on my face, it's because I'm like sitting in front of a window right here, right? And there's 6 feet of snow. The snow is actually right here up to my eye level, but the ground is about 7 feet down. That's how much snow is outside. And then we had a structure collapse on the camp and take out some stuff. And yeah, it's ridiculous. If people don't know, I live in Southwest Colorado, and we just got hosed. So we've been 2 days of digging out, and we probably have another four. We can't really do anything.
Well, real quick, look, I know that you work a lot, almost for free, almost like I do at times. So how can people get in contact with you if they want to help out with the camp? Equipment and tools are what's really necessary right now. For moving like literally tons of snow that is collapsing buildings. So how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. I mean, they can get a hold of me through CalicoBuffaloBaseCamp.com. So CalicoBuffaloBaseCamp.com. It's right there. CBBC or, OmegaDynamics.org. So yeah, you know, our big thing is like, we're trying to get to the point where we can have a piece of equipment like a skid steer. Obviously, anybody who's familiar with implement and heavy equipment, they ain't cheap. So, yeah, we're just out here trying to figure it out, man. And literally, like, on the roof, I had my wife and my three kids, you know, which are 10, 12, and 13. And 7 hours, dude. I live in a double wide. Everybody tracking? I live in a double wide. 7 hours to get 4 feet of snow off the roof. All five of us just digging nonstop. So, I mean, we're old school analog. Like, there's not a lot of money flowing around. And so we just do what we got to do to keep making it happen. But so yeah, man.
If anyone wants to make a donation, Calico Base, his website, Omega Dynamics, you know, there's a support tab on there. I would ask that if you want to support Jamie and his family and the ministry that he's doing, please, you know, consider donating. Before you consider donating anything to me, please support him and what they're doing. And now's the time to put your money back into the return investment in Christ. And, you know, I mean, I get disgusted when I think about all the other ways that we spend money and never help one another, you know?
Well, and for people that, you know, maybe don't have a church, or they're looking for a church, or they've come out of churches, You can join our church. We have a church here, Calico Buffalo Base Camp Church, and try to post the sermons. They're about a week. They're always a week behind, but I mean, every week, subscribe to YouTube channel. It's just Jamie Walden, and join us for church. And I pray for you and pray for you for people that are can't physically come and meet. And we are unified, even though they're maybe half in person and half, you know, virtual or whatever the case is. It's like, it's still a part of the body. So anyways, if you're looking for a church, just subscribe there at the YouTube channel. And that's where the sermons go. So.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end this by just saying that, you know, we're praying for you. We're all on the same side. We're all on the same team. And we need to apply what God has taught us, what Jesus has taught us. That way we can succeed in this fight and stop fighting one another. That's the big ending topic of all this. So, Jamie, thanks for coming on. We'll
yeah, bro.
We'll try and get you back on hopefully here in a couple of weeks. And you know, good luck to removing Frosty the Snowman from your roof.
Well, I just literally, my buddy just drove by on a snowmobile in front of that, like as you're saying.
At eye level. Yeah,
exactly. So, all right, yeah, man, thanks for having me on, bro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.